This is the Liberty Beat, your daily source for Liberty news and activist updates, online at thelibertybeat.com. I'm Brian Hagan with your Liberty Beat for Friday, January 23rd, 2015. Gold is trading at $1,299, silver at $18.33, and Bitcoin is trading around $229. Today's precious metal prices are brought to you by Roberts & Roberts Brokerage Incorporated. Use coupon code LIB001 to get free shipping on your first order. Visit the new online store at rrbi.co or call them up at 800-874-9760. How much food is in your pantry right now? Could you feed your family for 2 weeks, 1 week? How about even 3 days without any help? Keeping an emergency food storage kit is the most effective way to begin to ensure your family's well-being during an emergency. eFoods Direct is food security for whatever the future holds. Go to eFoodsDirect.com/LibertyBeat or call 800-620-5520 to learn more about food security in a time of crisis. In the news, Silk Road Trial Day 6, which began with defense attorney Joshua Dreidel cross-examining FBI agent Tom Kiernan. He's the computer specialist who first examined Ross Ulbricht's computer after his arrest. Ulbricht is the creator of the Silk Road Marketplace and is charged with crimes associated with his alleged involvement in facilitating drug sales between vendors and customers. Part of Dreidel's questioning focused on the fact that BitTorrent, a peer-to-peer file-sharing program, was running on Ulbricht's computer. It appeared he was trying to insinuate that through malware put on Ulbricht's computer, through BitTorrent, someone could have placed the chat logs and journals on his hard drive. Any doubt that may have been in the jury's mind after hearing about the possibility of malware likely vanished after the state's redirect, where U.S. Attorney Howard asked Agent Kiernan if the computer did in fact have any malware. Kiernan replied in the negative. Of significance for the defense, there were chats from Ulbricht with a friend, where he states he sold the site in the fall of 2011. That aligns with an interview conducted in 2013 with Dread Pirate Roberts by Wired reporter Andy Greenberg, where DPR states he acquired the site from someone else. The revelation seems to go along with the defense's narrative that Ulbricht built the site, but later gave it up after it became too stressful. Also revealed during the day through discussion between the judge and the defense is the possibility that Ulbricht himself may take the stand. The Liberty Beat will keep you up to date as the trial continues. To support our efforts to have journalists on the ground through the entirety of the trial in New York, visit thelibertybeat.com and click the support link. Today's broadcast of the Liberty Beat is sponsored by Central Texas Gunworks, your online source for firearms, firearm accessories, and ammunition. They take major credit cards and now accept Bitcoin. Visit them online at shop.centraltexasgunworks.com. This is the Liberty Beat for Friday, January 23rd, 2015. Check out the website at
thelibertybeat.com. Hi, you're with Truth News Radio Australia on the 21st of March, 2015. My name's Hereward Fenton, and it is a great pleasure to be with you today, folks. The show has been off the air the last couple of weeks, on and off. I've had quite a lot of difficult stuff that I'm trying to manage, and believe me, this show is very important, and it's not going away. We are going to continue this. We're doing very important work here, bringing information to the general public, which will not reach the public without this type of media, without this type of resource. Because as we know, the mainstream news is all controlled by very powerful financial oligarchies. And the real trap that I think many of us fall into is we don't understand that this media that's been given to us in the form of so many free things, television and newspapers and free things on the internet, free social networking tools like Facebook. It all seems so wonderful. It all seems so easy. But you know what? There's a reason why they do it. They create all this stuff and give it to you for free because by doing so, they control the narrative, you see. They control the narrative of what is worth talking about. And because it's free, you think it's great, but what we perhaps forget, and I think we can all be a victim of this, is that they are shaping your model of the world. And that's why alternative news that is not funded by vast corporate oligarchies that own half the planet is actually very important. And that's what this show is, folks. That's what Truth News Radio is. It runs on the smell of an oily rag. We need money, of course. And part of what I'll be talking about today during the show is that we really do need more funding, because without that funding, without the financial ability to create professional experiences for the listener, then we can't even have a presence that can compete with the professional, highly expensive, bloated budget of television and radio that most people accept. Now, many people have commented that my show is actually very good, it's very professional, but what they don't realise is that unlike the ABC, unlike Channel 9, Channel 7, all these radio stations, I don't have a budget of millions of dollars. I've had to do it completely on my own. And so if I'm able to do this in a reasonably professional way, that's an incredible achievement. And I'm not trying to be overly blowing my own horn about this. I'm actually just trying to get the listener to understand how difficult this is and perhaps how important it is, and perhaps important enough that we can begin to get the money behind it to actually take it to that next level. Anyway, that's my little promo spruik for the show, and I'm now going to get straight into some very important topics. And I have, as my guest for the first hour of today's show, Dr. Vera Scheibner, who has been on the show several times now, and she is a terrific warrior for truth in the area of vaccines. And today we're going to be discussing and kind of commenting on a recent ABC TV piece, kind of a little puff piece they had on a show called The Drum, questioning why it is that people aren't getting all the shots these days, and they're sort of throwing up their hands and saying, oh, how can it be? Why is it? And anyway, we'll play a bit of that and we'll comment on it. I'd just like to say welcome to Truth News Radio, Vera Scheibner.
Thank you for having me.
It is a great pleasure. And, you know, you're, as always, your insights are very, very helpful. I mean, this subject of vaccines, Dr. Scheibner, it sort of feels like it's the tip of the spear of some very important struggles that are going on in modern Western society and globally too. I mean, of course, it affects the whole world, but it's a struggle within our Western society, because there's a movement to basically use the vaccine question as a kind of a battering ram against our basic civil rights. But as with many examples in history of where society has kind of veered in towards authoritarianism and totalitarianism, there is always some kind of desperate reason why, in this case, we have to shelve our normal beliefs about our rights, because this overarching thing is so much more important. And I could actually compare it to the way in which the threat of terrorism has been used to subjugate people's rights as well. And we're seeing it, again, it's another topic that we cover equally on this show, the way in which the agenda to assert control and to spy on people and limit people's freedoms is being engineered by a vaunted threat that is so much beyond what we would normally accept or tolerate, that we're willing to accept major intrusions on our basic freedoms. But isn't it interesting, Dr. Scheibner, that we see these phenomena in our society, and many people, I don't think, can connect the dots. They don't see that these dots are actually connected. Can I just get a quick take from you on that?
Well, I am the right person to ask, because I experienced a real totalitarian regime, yep, meaning they admitted that it was a dictatorship, for 20 years in former Czechoslovakia. Yes. And basically, we had no rights, no freedom of speech. However, there was a very effective civil disobedience. And so there was the official life and the unofficial life. And the problem was, of course, the former Soviet Union, which was given the east, several eastern countries as a settlement after the Second World War. And they were literally sucking all energy, all products and everything out of these eastern countries, because the trains with the whole production of factories went straight into the Soviet Union, and they never paid a cent for it. But you see, that was a dictatorship, admitted dictatorship. When I came to Australia in 1969, on 6th of January 69, after the Russian invasion of former Czechoslovakia, and I was learning, I wanted to learn, and I was learning a lot about Australia, life and philosophy and everything. I shuddered how easily a dictatorship can take over in countries like Australia, because people believed anything that they were told.
Yes.
And that is behind almost 100% vaccination compliance. Because it is vaccination is presented as beneficial, infectious, naturally infectious diseases are presented as some scourges of humanity. They are demonized.
Yes.
Even though, at the same time, when I look at particularly early medical articles in 1960s about vaccination, they were admitting that diseases are not really deadly diseases, that they are mild, that there is very low mortality, short duration, and there was no need to prevent whooping cough and measles. Until, of course, the drug companies started smelling money. And because vaccines are given to healthy children, not just sick children, right? There is a difference between medication, which is given to sick people, and vaccines, which are given to healthy children. And so to sell the vaccines, meaning to persuade people to willingly subject their children to vaccination, they had to come up with these demonized, horrific infectious diseases. And people simply believed it.
Yes.
Now, my specialty is, as a vaccine researcher, to study medical literature. I have no personal opinion, meaning I don't push my personal opinions, and whatever I write, and I write prolifically, particularly in British Medical Journal, which is a rare medical journal because it recognizes freedom of speech. Anybody can respond to a published article, and I published some 90 such contributions. And I must say that I don't mince words. I quite openly call for discontinuation of vaccination, and it also encouraged medical doctors to come out of their shell. And there are increasing contributions from the doctors who are talking against vaccination. So that's just like a little introduction. But what is happening with vaccines, that even though some may have had expectations that vaccines will prevent these infectious diseases, whether it is necessary or not, they were disappointed because they probably didn't even expect it, because the knowledge of biology, immunology, was rudimentary in the 50s and 60s when they started producing vaccines for childhood diseases. Right from the beginning of mass vaccination, it was the vaccinated children who were contracting diseases such as whooping cough, measles, etc. And that's happening to this day. So on television, you may hear little baby died less than 2 months old from whooping cough, and it got obviously contracted whooping cough from some unvaccinated child. Well, that's absolutely false, because this happened before, and it was subject to an article in British Medical, in Australian Medical Journal, 1998, which published on infant pertussis death in New South Wales, 1996-1997. And I prefer reading than just relying on my memory. So since 1996, southeastern Australia has been experiencing a pertussis epidemic which has resulted in the death of several infants, including four from New South Wales, in the 12th month to July 1997. All were less than 6 weeks of age and died from overwhelming cardiovascular compromise despite intensive care support. The authors maintain that the excessive infant mortality from a preventable disease demonstrates the need for better pertussis immunity in the community and for erythromycin treatment for all suspected cases and family contacts. At the time, the media were intimating that these young infants allegedly contracted whooping cough from some unknown, unvaccinated child who suffered whooping cough. Yes. But then Medical Journal of Australia actually published something else. Case by case, they demonstrated that these babies actually contracted whooping cough from their fully vaccinated mothers and siblings, or both, who suffered whooping cough despite being fully vaccinated at the time of the birth of these infants. And when I read each cases in detail, I realized that actually these babies didn't die from whooping cough. They died from the treatment because initially they were doing quite well. Then they were admitted in hospital. And in hospital they were put on not one, but two so-called second generation antibiotics, very powerful antibiotics, intravenously. And they started deteriorating and died straight after the administration of these antibiotics.
Dr. Chaimana, we're just going to break. Sorry to interrupt. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. We are going to ad break. Talking about a very important topic here today, folks. Do stay with us for the hour. We'll be right back.
January is the time for new beginnings, a chance to sharpen our focus on what's important and recommit to ourselves and loved ones. Logos Radio Network is holding their third gun giveaway as a part of their annual fundraiser. Donate $25 today and be entered into a drawing for a Glock 42 pistol. Second place gets two CHL classes, both sponsored by Central Texas Gunworks. The first 50 people who donate $25 will receive a free jar of My Magic Mud detoxifying tooth powder. Please visit LogosRadioNetwork.com for more details. If you appreciate truth in media and have enjoyed Logos Radio Network programming, contribute to this very important fundraiser sponsored by Central Texas Gunworks and My Magic Mud. Secure your chance to win a Glock 42 and get your free jar of My Magic Mud now. Contest ends January 31st. Support free speech radio at its best.
Are you being harassed by debt collectors with phone calls, letters, or even lawsuits? Stop debt collectors now with the Michael Maris Proven Method. Michael Maris has won 6 cases in federal court against debt collectors, and now you can win too. You'll get step-by-step instructions in plain English on how to win in court using federal civil rights statutes, what to do when contacted by phone, mail, or court summons, how to answer letters and phone calls, how to get debt collectors out of your credit report, how to turn the financial tables on them and make them pay you to go away. The Michael Maris Proven Method is the solution for how to stop debt collectors. Personal consultation is available as well. For more information, please visit ruleoflawradio.com and click on the blue Michael Maris banner or email michaelmaris@yahoo.com. That's ruleoflawradio.com or email michaelmiras@yahoo.com to learn how to stop debt collectors now.
Men and women of Earth, may I have your attention? This is Herewood Fenton, host of Truth News Radio Australia. You're invited to join the info war as we work to restore truth in media and challenge the dark forces which now dominate mainstream news. I'm calling on you, valued listener, to use your hard-earned dollars to help us smash the globalist empire. Visit truthnews.com.au and subscribe today. Welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio, and the topic today is vaccines with Dr. Vera Scheibner. Now, Dr. Scheibner, at the end of the last segment there, you were talking about this epidemic or this outbreak of pertussis, in which you were noting that some of the actual treatments that were being given in the hospital were part of the reason why so many children actually fared as badly as they did. Can you please continue with that? It's very, very interesting.
Yes. Well, and when I looked at baby one, two, babies one, two, three, four, individually, I realized that they were doing quite well until they were put on intravenous second-generation antibiotics. And because they were putting on antibiotics at different time, one 18 hours, another 5 days, another 10 hours, etc., I could see that they actually develop reactions to those antibiotics and started deteriorating and ultimately died. And medical literature is also teeming with evidence that antibiotics kill. Even I remember when in the 1950s they started giving penicillin, that they, even adults were dropping dead from them, particularly when they were injected penicillin. And so those babies would have been better off either be given nothing or vitamin C, and they would have all recovered. And the same would apply even in the present, because it is a standard practice that on admission to hospital, everybody is put on antibiotics and fever suppressants, right, and paracetamol. And it is very unscientific, because when I studied the effect of suppressing fever in patients with infectious diseases, I very quickly realized that giving antibiotics and suppressing fever actually facilitates the bacteria developing resistance to antibiotics even faster if the fever was allowed to go through its natural paces. So how unscientific is that? Because absolutely, it is possible that antibiotics would be more effective if the person was allowed to have fever at the same time. So that is one very serious evidence against vaccination and all sorts of other things. But also, when I have a look at other articles on whooping cough, so this is British Medical Journal, actually my own essay. It's called Rapid Responses, but they have a standing of a letter to the editor, so they have a considerable standing. When the similar things happened in 2009, okay, outbreaks of whooping cough are occurring irrespective of vaccination. Actually, that there is more whooping cough when the vaccination compliance is high. So I write, discussion about whooping cough is not going to stop until all and sundry realize that vaccination not only fails to prevent children from getting it, but is keeping the disease alive and kicking at the pre-vaccine era incidence levels. Moreover, the discussion about treatment only revolves around which antibiotic to be used, rather than stepping out of the vicious circle and realizing that administering adequate doses of sodium ascorbate, which is non-acidic form of vitamin C, or even doing nothing is the safer and more effective way to go. Another serious effect of vaccination is that it damages the transplacentally transmitted immunity. Babies born to mothers who were vaccinated as babies have poor or no transplacentally transmitted immunity, which normally protects small babies against any infectious diseases at a very young age. Small babies are now contracting pertussis, usually from their fully vaccinated mothers and or siblings who had the diseases around the time of their birth. And I must say that medical researchers warned about this phenomenon of destruction of transplacentally transmitted immunity straight after mass vaccination started, and particularly in 1980s. They actually warned about it, and their warnings are coming true.
Can I just ask you, Dr. Scheibner, is there evidence that babies are now contracting whooping cough at an earlier age than in previous generations, you know, previous times when their parents weren't being vaccinated. Is the actual age at which babies are contracting whooping cough actually lower now as a result, as you say, of the fact that their immune response is decreased because they're not getting the placental immunity from their parents, so they're more vulnerable at the younger age when it is actually far more dangerous?
Absolutely. And it's all published in the most reputable medical journals. And but there is also other evidence, Sweden and Japan, because Sweden stopped giving whooping cough vaccine for 11 years after 1979, in outbreaks that were affecting vaccinated children. I mean, it's nothing new. Outbreaks always occur in the vaccinated children. But yes, the Swedish government acted upon it. And the first thing they noticed, that whooping cough stopped occurring in babies below the age of 1 year.
That is because fascinating.
That's fascinating. And it stopped occurring in teenagers. And the 90% occurred in the advantageous and beneficial age between 4 and 10 years of age. But then under the pressure of American vaccinators, and I have it from one of the people who were actually in charge of two the trials of acellular pertussis vaccine. He even told me how much money the Sweden was given to perform those trials. So one was in late 1980s, and it have resulted in a fiasco because too many children developed invasive bacterial infections after being given this acellular whooping cough vaccine. And the second trial, which was in from 1990 to 1995, also brought to the surface very interesting information, because already during the trial, 2-month-old babies, which for 11 years wouldn't have contracted whooping cough after being given this acellular vaccine. And despite this obvious writing on the wall, Sweden restarted giving whooping cough vaccine with the acellular vaccine. And since then, they had whooping cough outbreaks of catastrophic proportions, including in very small babies from 2 months of age when they are given the first dose of this acellular vaccine. Similar thing happened in Japan. Because after several deaths, they say 3 deaths, but others also say that it was 53 deaths after DPT vaccine in 1974, doctors boycotted vaccination. So the Japanese government again listened, and they lifted the vaccination age to 2 years. And the effect was immediate. Again, children stopped, small children below the age of 2 years, were not contracting whooping cough. Actually, it is published by James D. Cherry, who is the arch vaccinator of American children, because he wrote that the incidence of whooping cough went down, including the totally unvaccinated age group below 2 years. And so, but then the incidence in children between 2 and 3 years of age actually has increased. And that's very interesting. I'm reading from an article which deals with it. It's Journal of American Medical Association. The raising of the recommended age for starting vaccination may have lessened the rate of real as well as coincidental adverse events. Now, you know that the word coincidental is used ubiquitously. When a child develops symptoms of deleterious effect after vaccination, they call it coincidental. And here they write that when they stop vaccinating, the rate of adverse events, both real and coincidental, fell. I mean, isn't that an interesting admission?
And this was in a journal, actual journal article, they said.
The Medical Association, a journal.
It's an admission of complete failure to think. I mean, we are going to break, but look, that is incredible that they see the coincidence, but then they don't use the logical ability to connect the dots. We are going to break. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Governor Peter Shumlin isn't known to shirk a political fight, but he beat a hasty retreat when a different kind of opponent showed up in his backyard. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, and in a moment, I'll tell you what had the governor running scared.
Privacy is under attack. When you give up data about yourself, you'll never get it back again. And once your privacy is gone, you'll find your freedoms will start to vanish too. So protect your rights. Say no to surveillance and keep your information to yourself. Privacy. It's worth hanging on to. This message is brought to you by StartPage.com, the private search engine alternative to Google, Yahoo, and Bing. Start over with StartPage.
Wildlife Pop Quiz. What do you do if you wake up in the middle of the night and see bears in the yard? My answer? Check the locks and dive back under the covers. But Vermont's Governor Peter Shumlin is no city boy. When he saw four bears feasting on the bird feeders outside his Montpelier home, he yelled out the window. When that didn't work, he tried shooing the bears away. Finally, naked to his toes, he went outside to rescue his feeders. Mama Bear was not amused. She chased the bare-bottomed governor right back inside, then returned to her snack. I guess bears, like many of us, ignore the hand-waving of politicians. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht for StartPage.com, the world's most private search engine.
This is Building 7, a 47-story skyscraper that fell on the afternoon of September 11th.
The government says that fire brought it down. However, 1,500 architects and engineers concluded it was a controlled demolition.
Over 6,000 of my fellow service members have given their lives.
And thousands of my fellow first responders are dying.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist.
I'm a structural engineer.
I'm a New York City correction officer.
I'm an Air Force pilot.
I'm a father who lost his son.
We're Americans, and we deserve the truth.
Go to rememberbuilding7.org today.
Rule of Law Radio is proud to offer the Rule of Law Traffic Seminar. In today's America, we live in an us-against-them society, and if we, the people, are ever going to have a free society, then we're going to have to stand and defend our own rights. Among those rights are the right to travel freely from place to place, the right to act in our own private capacity, and most importantly, the right to due process of law. Traffic courts afford us the least expensive opportunity to learn how to enforce and preserve our rights through due process. Former Sheriff's Deputy Eddie Craig, in conjunction with Rule of Law Radio, has put together the most comprehensive teaching tool available that will help you understand what due process is and how to hold the courts to the rule of law. You can get your own copy of this invaluable material by going to ruleoflawradio.com and ordering your copy today. By ordering now, you'll receive a copy of Eddie's book, The Texas Transportation Code, The Law Versus the Lie, video and audio of the original 2009 seminar, hundreds of research documents, and other useful resource material. Learn how to fight for your rights with the help of this material from ruleoflawradio.com. Order your copy today, and together we can have the free society we all want and deserve.
Welcome back, you're with Truth News Radio. And we are talking about vaccines. And Dr. Scheibner, I want to allow us enough time to talk about the ABC news piece. So I'd like to just quickly play that now and to get your comments on it. Now, this is very important because this was in the news just last week, just a few days ago. And you can see that the powers that be are trying once again to engineer the results they want. And we, as the alternative media, we have to respond. We have to also come forth and bring our own narrative. And we need to engage with the narrative that's being put forward by the mainstream media. So I'm going to play for you now the segment that was aired on ABC's The Drum on Tuesday, March 17. It's a short segment, and a lot of the show was occupied with political matters. But then towards the end, they brought up the question of why some parents refuse to vaccinate their children. So here we go. We'll just play it and we'll stop it and we'll comment on it, as we often do on this show. And I will give you my take, and I'm sure Dr. Scheibner will give her very qualified opinion on some of this. So here we go. Actually, I might just boost the volume a little there and we'll start playing now.
Okay. All right. I want to talk about something else completely different now. Something that a lot of parents, a lot of people have been talking about, not just in Australia, but in the US. Now, there's been a measles outbreak in America. Now, this infected more than 170 people this year. That's despite the virus being absent from the US for more than a decade. New research shows that in the affected areas, the immunization rate is as low as 50%. Australia was declared measles free just last year. But in some areas...
Just going to pause it there. I'd just like to get a comment from you, Dr. Scheibner, on the measles outbreak in the US. Do you have any interesting information to add to that?
Absolutely. Measles and whooping cough are the best researched.
Yeah.
That's why it seems as if children were developing diseases only after these two vaccines. But the recent outbreaks of mumps in fully vaccinated students in New York and all sorts of other diseases are also documented.
Okay.
Now, measles. Measles, when in 1950s and 1960s, when they were preparing to start measles vaccination, they started publishing articles where they were presenting measles as some sort of a dangerous disease. And I will read to you what they write about it, because it is similar to that, also the real and coincidental reactions disappeared when vaccination was disconnected.
Yes.
Here, this is published in a medical journal, Public Health Reports, March 1967, Epidemiologic Basis for Eradication of Measles in 1967. For centuries, the measles virus has maintained a remarkably stable ecological relationship with man. The clinical disease is a characteristic syndrome of notable constancy and only moderate severity. Complications are infrequent, and with adequate medical care, fatality is rare. Susceptibility to the disease after the waning of maternal immunity, right, transplacentally transmitted immunity, is universal. Immunity following recovery is solid and lifelong in duration.
That's an incredibly important point. I just want to emphasize that for our listeners. The lifelong immunity granted by actually having the illness is so important. Please continue, Dr. Scheibner.
The disease occurs ubiquitously throughout the world in periodic cycles of considerable regularity. With the exception of a few extremely isolated population groups, essentially all children experience the infection sometimes before adolescence. The reservoir or infection is man himself. No non-human sources of infection are known. Chronic carriers do not exist. Despite the extent of the epidemiologic knowledge of measles, health officials have been frustrated in their efforts to bring this disease under control. So it's not a dangerous disease, and they are trying to get it under control.
And so just to refer back to this this media piece here, where they say there was this terrible outbreak of measles, what you're saying is that really outbreaks of measles have occurred in the past and will occur in the future. Measles is endemic to human the human species, and it's not such a terrible problem. But when we see on the news, and we saw this lady just a moment ago, and we were playing the video, and she was saying, "Oh, there was this terrible outbreak." Now, the problem, of course, is that in populations that haven't developed lifelong immunity, the danger of getting measles at an older age or at a much younger age is actually an increased risk or threat, is it not? Because if we allowed the natural disease pattern to prevail, which is that children get it after weaning from breastfeeding, but before they reach adolescence, that is the ideal time to get measles. But because of the changes that have taken place and because people's immune systems have actually been altered by the vaccines, small babies are getting it and older people are getting it. And these are actually the two biggest risk groups.
Absolutely. And not only that, I have stacks of medical papers demonstrating the beneficial effect of measles on other conditions. For instance, cancers. All cancers are prevented by having natural measles. Mm. They are now coming up with treatment for a variety of cancers by artificially infecting the patients with measles virus, but it is a modified virus. So why don't they just let natural measles virus to prevail and provide people with proper natural immunity, not only just to another bout of measles, but also to many cancers?
Absolutely.
So again, they are manipulating the whole thing, and also by injecting it, it creates the trouble. One of the problems, or the number one problem with vaccines is that they are injected. When you get natural disease, the pathogen, bacteria or viruses, enter via normal portals of entry, which is nose and mouth, and the natural immune process starts on their level, on the level of tonsils.
Absolutely. Now, I'm sorry to interrupt, Dr. Scheibner. I want to try and get through the rest of this video. We don't have a lot of time left in the hour. I'll just pause you there, because I want to continue with the video, because there's going to be some very important points that are made here and I want to get us a chance to address them. So I'm just going to continue the video now, and feel free to interject if you have something important to say. So here we go, back to ABC The Drum.
Our vaccination rates have sunk lower than 50%. Mike Clay reports.
What do the suburbs of Mossman, Manly, South Yarra and Noosa Heads all have in common? They have high levels of wealth and education and low levels of childhood vaccination.
There is that mistrust of medicine in general. There is a preference for these sort of idealised natural lifestyles, and vaccines are perceived to be unnatural.
In areas like Mullumbimby in New South Wales, parents may visit a naturopath instead of a family GP, and avoiding vaccination is almost a social norm. The vaccination rate here is 47%, well below the 90% needed for herd immunity.
You're really looking at two groups here, the families who reject all vaccines and can be quite entrenched with their views, and the families who are maybe willing to consider some vaccines or are just really worried about vaccines and need some reassurance.
People that have chosen not to vaccinate are doing this because they believe it's the best thing for their child. However, this belief is based on misinformation often peddled by professional anti-vaccination groups.
But what about that supposed link to autism that anti-vaccination groups push? In 1998, Dr. Andrew Wakefield published a study in the prestigious journal The Lancet that claimed autism was linked to the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine. But the research involves just...
Absolutely, yeah, please.
I want to comment. I am looking at another rapid response published in British Medical Journal on this Wakefield affair.
Yes.
In Bellaby's article, he stated...
Oh, I'm terribly sorry. We are going to break. We'll continue straight after this. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. We're going to break. We'll be right back.
Hello, my name is Stuart Smith from naturespureorganics.com, and I would like to invite you to come by our store at 1904 Guadalupe Street, Suite D, here in Austin, Texas, behind Brave New Books and Chase Bank, to see all our fantastic health and wellness products with your very own eyes. Have a look at our miracle healing clay that started our adventure in alternative medicine. Take a peek at some of our other wonderful products, including our Australian emu oil, lotion candles, olive oil soaps, and colloidal silver and gold. Call 512-264-4043 or find us online at naturespureorganics.com. That's 512-264-4043, naturespureorganics.com. Don't forget to like us on Facebook for information on events and our products. Nature'sPureOrganics.com.
Plaintiff or defendant in a lawsuit? Win your case without an attorney with JurisDictionary, the affordable, easy-to-understand 4-CD course that will show you how in 24 hours, step by step. If you have a lawyer, know what your lawyer should be doing. If you don't have a lawyer, know what you should do for yourself. Thousands have won with our step-by-step course, and now you can too. JurisDictionary was created by a licensed attorney with 22 years of case-winning experience. Even if you're not in a lawsuit, you can learn what everyone should understand about the principles and practices that control our American courts. You'll receive our audio classroom, video seminar, tutorials, forms for civil cases, pro se tactics, and much more. Please visit ruleoflawradio.com and click on the banner or call toll-free 866-LAW-EASY.
What happens in terms of creating wars is a mind manipulation technique called problem-reaction-solution. And it works like this. First of all, you create the problem, but you get someone else to be blamed for it. You then report that problem through the media in the way you want it reported. You get the public to react to your problem by saying something must be done, this can't go on, what are they going to do about it?
Hi, welcome back with Truth News Radio. Dr. Scheibner, you were commenting there on the Andrew Wakefield affair, which they are kind of dramatizing in the ABC puff piece on vaccines. Do continue.
Okay, so I continue reading. In 1998, Wakefield was the first to make the claim that autism and the MMR vaccine are linked, and cited the infamous Wakefield et al. Research study on ileal lymphoid nodular hyperplasia. However, when reading the actual Wakefield et al. Study that has since been retracted by The Lancet, the study never assigns a link to MMR and autism. In fact, the discussion clearly stated, we did not prove an association between measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine and the syndrome described, Wakefield et al. 1998. It is my assertion that continuing misinformation by the healthcare community, such as stating that Wakefield studies stated a link when it in fact did not, is part of the twofold problem with MMR and autism. The second problem is that despite skyrocketing rates of autism, no real research is being conducted to inform the public as to the true causes of autism. When researchers such as Wakefield have misinformation promoted about a single study that dared to look at horrific health ailments of children with autism, it further shuts off would-be research for fear of similar blackballing. So here you have evidence that actually Wakefield did not link in those words MMR to autism. They just described 12 cases in which autism occurred after measles containing vaccine, because it was not just MMR but also single individual vaccines.
This is very, very important, and you know, we need to confront the fact that the ABC is completely abandoning journalistic integrity. They are not even following a consistent mental paradigm in the way they are covering. But this is typical of the way the media approaches this. They're not even logically consistent in what they're saying. In other words, they're advancing Dr. Andrew Wakefield's paper as if that were something that it's not. But that is obfuscation. You see, that is a classic example of pure propaganda. And I have a plan, folks, to confront members of the ABC with a little crew that we can put together from Truth News Radio. And I would like to actually confront some of these people and call them out on the complete dishonesty and complete factual incorrectness of what they've said in this particular piece. And they need to be corrected on it. They need to be hauled up on it. This needs to be in, like, Media Watch. But, of course, Media Watch is another ABC show. And I've already... Many people have complained to Media Watch about various things that the ABC has done, and it never goes anywhere. Anyway, I'm just going to continue, Dr. Scheinman, because we've only got a few minutes left, but I want to play a little more of this, and then I'll let you continue. But I'll just keep the video playing now. Here we go.
12 children and 4 subsequent studies found absolutely no link. It later turned out that Wakefield's research had been doctored and he'd received undeclared payments. Wakefield was stripped of his license to practice medicine and The Lancet retracted the article.
Certainly the autism vaccine scare.
So it's an absolute lie. I can't say it any better because Wakefield is one of the most honest people you can meet. Just look at his picture, okay? And so that's absolutely untrue. I don't want to go into details. It's freely accessible on the internet, point by point, refuting any of these accusations of impropriety.
Absolutely. And can I just say that the article was not retracted because the results were falsified. This is what most people assume because of the dishonest, despicable way that the ABC presents this. And it is completely factually wrong. It is a lie. It is a blatant, outright lie. It is criminal that they are actually saying these things, and it is a huge offence to humanity what they're doing. The Wakefield article was only retracted because of so-called procedural matters that had nothing to do with the validity of the data, zero to do with the validity of the data. It was to do with ethical questions, and those were also extremely dubious. But people assume, and because of the lying, dishonest, I really just have to highlight this, the utterly despicable way that this is presented on the ABC, millions of people in Australia think that Dr. Andrew Wakefield falsified results, like a fake, you know, like a scammer, like he just made up the data. That is completely wrong. Sorry, Dr. Scheinman, back to you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I read another rapid response from BMJ, published already in 2005, editor. Dr. Fitzpatrick says the price of the self-indulgence, Phillips is one of Britain's best paid journalists, is borne by the real victims of the MMR autism fiasco. These are parents anxiously facing decisions about immunization and parents of children with autism who carry an unwarranted burden of guilt over having had their children immunized. The anxiety of these parents would be greatly relieved, I am sure, if Tony Blair announced he had his son immunized with MMR, and if Dr. Fitzpatrick could assure the anxious parents his own son, seen on television, did not develop autism within 28 days of being vaccinated with MMR. You know, Tony Blair refused to say yay or nay whether his youngest son was given MMR vaccine. Well, on my books, it means he was not, because otherwise he would have cheerfully and happily admitted, yes, my son was given the MMR. Then Dr. Fitzpatrick has an autistic, severely autistic son, and he refused to admit that his son was given, developed autism after the MMR, which he was given. Now, they have provided a voice for middle-class anxieties. Middle class. Please explain, Dr. Fitzpatrick. And then competing interests, the doctor who writes this rapid response. I believe autism, as described by Wakefield et al., is an immune complex disorder. In other words, I believe that it is caused by vaccination. The same doctor published in 2004, when I started contributing to BMJ.com, obviously some doctors were huffed up and etc. He said that I was the first one to introduce medical literature to medical doctors. And so it is healthy to publish my anti-vaccination contributions. Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, let's just play a little more of this and we'll see if there's anything else worth commenting on. Here we go.
Really solidified some of the tools that the anti-vaccination movement is using in Australia.
But reason is trumping fear. Our national immunisation rate is over 90%, and an anti-vaccines campaigner from the US was this year forced to cancel her local tour after community members campaigned against it. Vaccination is an emotional topic, and it's easy to get angry at parents who reject it. But that may not be the best option.
So it's important that we don't go for that. I'll just give you the facts and you'll realise you're wrong and change your mind. It doesn't work, it's not effective and may even be counterproductive.
In Australia, parents who don't vaccinate can be ineligible for some welfare payments, and in New South Wales and Victoria, even childcare. But do we need to go further to improve our numbers?
We're really asking what level of coercion is acceptable and treads that fine line between public health and individual rights.
First of all, it is the proponents of vaccination who are coming with fear stories and intimidation and threats of withholding certain child payments or not accepting unvaccinated children in preschools. They are the ones who come up with these stories. And it is also presented often as if it already happened. While when you read the real situation, actually no child care or child-related payments have been withdrawn and can be withdrawn. They introduced this conscientious objection thing that parents who don't want to vaccinate and want their children and are enrolling children to school or preschool simply go to their GPs, who is supposed to counsel them, instruct them about benefits and risks of vaccination. And then he simply signs form to that effect, meaning he doesn't sign that he agrees with their conscientious objection, but that he counsel them, warn them, lecture them about the risks and benefits, and they still don't want to vaccinate, well, fine. So that's all there is, because you see, Australian Constitution expressly doesn't allow any medical procedure to be mandated. And the government is actually breaking the law, and its actions are unconstitutional, even having a national vaccination program, because the Constitution allows the government to provide medical, dental, hospital care, but it is not allowed to advertise or push any one medical procedure. So the government is breaking the law. And who is it we want higher vaccination compliance? Who is those we? Because it is the parents who are the legal guardians of their children and who carry the brunt of if something, and which often happens after vaccination. Australia is one of the few countries besides real dictatorships and, you know, those countries which are not democracies. Australia has no factual working compensation, vaccine compensation system. Practically all court cases for vaccine damage failed because the judges believed the opinions of doctors, which is also illegal, because that is, doctors' opinions are not considered evidence, and yet those compensation court cases failed on the word of a doctor.
Dr. Scheidner, we're at the end of the hour. It's gone so quick. Folks, you know, it's just common sense. You can't have a massive program with a cartel of companies running it, dishing these drugs out to millions of people without it becoming corrupt, and you have to question it. It's only common sense. We're going to hour two, but hour two will be a repeat of a previous show. I'll be back next week with more fresh news. See you then, folks.
Would you like to make more definite progress in your walk with God? Bibles for America is offering a free study Bible and a set of free Christian books that can really help. The New Testament Recovery Version is one of the most comprehensive study Bibles available today. It's an accurate translation, and it contains thousands of footnotes that will help you to know God and to know the meaning of life. The free three books are a three-volume set called Basic Elements of the Christian Life. Chapter by chapter, Basic Elements of the Christian Life clearly presents God's plan of salvation, growing in Christ, and how to build up the church. To order your free New Testament Recovery Version and Basic Elements of the Christian Life, call Bibles for America toll-free at 888-551-0102. That's 888-551-0102. Or visit us online at bfa.org.
Looking for some truth? You found it. LogosRadioNetwork.com.